For 25 years, from 1973 through 1997, an Italian priest named Father Stefano Gobbi said that he received locutions from the Blessed Mother. In these messages, she spoke of our times and reiterated the requests she made at Fatima. Although her messages are for everyone, in these messages, she particularly asks priests for greater holiness and to be more active in promoting consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Father Gobbi's spiritual director urged him to write down the messages that came to him. In due time, they were published with multiple imprimaturs as thousands of priests, bishops, and cardinals eagerly asked for translations in many languages. This recording is not professional and not for profit. Volunteer readers have undertaken to make these available as audio podcasts. You may purchase the book, To the Priests, Our Lady's Beloved Sons, at mmp-usa.net. Presented here are the messages from 1990, beginning January 1st to December 31st.
Message number 417, Mother of the Second Advent, Rubio, Vicenza, Italy, January 1st, 1990. Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. Beloved children, begin this new year in the immaculate light of my divine maternity. I am your mother as well, by the will of my Son, Jesus. And as mother, I want to take you by the hand and accompany you on the threshold of this decade, which you are beginning precisely on this day. It is a very important decade. It is a period of time particularly marked by a strong presence of the Lord among you. During the last decade of your century, the events which I have foretold to you will have reached their completion. Therefore, it is necessary that you allow yourselves to be formed, one and all, by my motherly action. I am forming you in your hearts in order to bring you to conversion and to open you to a new capacity for love. In this way, I heal you of the malady of egoism and of aridity. I am forming you in your souls, helping you to cultivate in them the great gift of divine grace, of purity, and of charity. And as in a heavenly garden, I am bringing to blossom the flowers of all the virtues which cause you to grow in holiness. Thus I remove from you the shadow of evil, the coldness of sin, the wilderness of impurity. I am forming you in your bodies, causing to shine forth in them the light of the Spirit who is dwelling there as in a living temple of His. Thus, I lead you along the way of purity, of beauty, of harmony, of joy, of peace, of communion with all paradise. During these years, I am preparing you, by my motherly action, to receive the Lord who is coming. This is why I have asked you for the consecration to my Immaculate Heart, to form all of you in that interior docility which is necessary for me in order that I may be able to work in each one of you, bringing you to a profound transformation which should prepare you to receive the Lord worthily. I am the mother of the second advent. I am preparing you for his new coming. I am opening the way to Jesus, who is returning to you in glory. Make level the high hills of pride, of hatred, of violence. Fill in the valleys dug by vices, by passions, by impurity. Clear away the barren soil of sin and of the rejection of God. As a sweet and merciful mother, today I urge my children, I urge all humanity, to prepare the way for the Lord who is coming. At the beginning of this last decade of your century, the task which the Lord has entrusted to me is that of preparing his coming among you. For this reason, I ask all to return to the Lord along the road of conversion of heart and of life, because this is still the favorable time which the Lord has granted you. I urge you all to consecrate yourselves to my Immaculate Heart, entrusting yourselves to me as little children, so that I may be able to lead you along the road of holiness in the joyous practice of all the virtues of faith, of hope, of charity, of prudence, of fortitude, of justice, of temperance, of silence, of humility, of purity, of mercy. I am forming you to prayer, which must always be carried out by you in union with me. Multiply in every part of the world the cynicals of prayer which I have asked of you, like torches lit in the night, like sure points of reference, like shelters needed and sought for. Above all, I ask that family cynicals be multiplied more and more in order to provide you with a safe dwelling place in the great trial which is now awaiting you. I am the mother of the second advent. Allow yourselves, therefore, to be formed and prepared by me during these years so that you can be ready to receive Jesus, who will come in glory to restore among you his reign of love, of holiness, of justice, and of peace. Message number 418. Only in the Hearts of Little Ones. Mato Grosso, Brazil, February 2nd, 1990. Feast of the Presentation of the Child Jesus. Look at all these children of mine. They are simple. They are little. They are so tried by suffering and by poverty. And yet, see how they have responded with generosity to my request for consecration and for prayer. This response has been made to me by little children who love me and surround me with filial tenderness, who gather together in cynicals of prayer made with me and who renew together their act of consecration to my Immaculate Heart. The generous response on the part of little children gives such joy to my Immaculate Heart and forms a great force of intercession and of reparation before the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus. I ask that children's cynicals be multiplied in every part of the world because I am calling them to a crusade of prayer and of consecration for the salvation of the world. This response has been made to me by the youth who in great numbers have accepted in their life the commitment deriving from their consecration to my Immaculate Heart and who are seeking to live it in the effort to flee sin, to keep in the state of sanctifying grace, and to exercise the Christian virtues, especially that of purity. They come together in cynicals to pray with me and to meditate on my word, which gently leads them to live the gospel of Jesus. The number of young people who are following the way traced out by your Heavenly Mother will become greater and greater. This response has been made to me by the families who consecrate themselves to my heart and who gather together in family cynicals, desired by me and which I have asked of you several times. Thus families consecrated to me resist the grave malady of division and of divorce and are preserved from the contagion of the terrible cancer of abortion and of recourse to all the means of impeding life. For this reason, nowhere else as here do you see so many children who are welcomed as the most beautiful and precious gift granted by the Lord to the families who are still faithful. This response has been made to me by the parish in all its components, the pastor and the flock entrusted to him. The parish community has consecrated itself to my Immaculate Heart and each day gathers together in a cynicle of prayer with me, with the recitation of the Holy Rosary and prostrating itself in adoration before the Eucharistic Jesus, solemnly exposed on the altar. Thus Jesus is able to release within souls his great power of love and, in this poor and out-of-the-way place, is already bringing about the triumph of his merciful love in the coming of his Eucharistic reign in your midst. Today, as you are venerating me at the moment when I am carrying in my arms the child Jesus to the Temple of Jerusalem, I announce to you that here my triumph has already begun. Each day, only in the hearts of little ones, am I forging the greatest triumph of my Immaculate Heart. Message number 419, Mother and Queen of Brazil. Brazil, February 8, 1990. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the priests responsible for the Marian movement of priests in Brazil. How happy I am, beloved sons, with this cenacle of prayer and brotherly sharing of yours, which you are holding together with your Heavenly Mother. You are gathering together in prayer. You pray thus as one, with the Liturgy of the Hours and with the recitation of the Holy Rosary. In the evening, you all gather together about the Eucharistic Jesus, solemnly exposed on the altar, for an hour of adoration and reparation. During the concelebration of Holy Mass, you always renew your act of consecration to my Immaculate Heart. You are gathering together in brotherly sharing, as it was in the cenacle of Jerusalem, so also in this cenacle of yours. I am helping you to grow in mutual love. You get to know each other, to understand each other, to share difficulties and problems, and as so many brothers, you help each other to grow in the exercise of an ever more perfect charity. Thus you live the new commandment which Jesus has given you, that of loving each other as he has loved you. And by means of you who have responded to me, the plan of my Immaculate Heart is now being accomplished for your country too, and for the church which lives here in Brazil. I am the Mother and Queen of Brazil. As I have told you in my preceding message, I confirm to you that the church here is running into a grave danger, that of becoming a victim of apostasy and loss of the true faith. The dangers which are threatening her are those of contestation, division, and numerous and public criticisms which are directed at the Pope and his magisterium on the part of some bishops, priests, religious, and faithful. Return, all of you, along the road of a full, docile, and obedient unity with the Pope if you want to remain in the true faith and in fidelity to Christ and to his gospel. Your country, too, is more and more threatened with materialism and hedonism, while the gap between those who enjoy many material goods and those who are deprived of even the necessities of life grows wider. It is menaced with the wounds of divorce, of abortion, of recourse to all the means of impeding life, of immorality, of impurity spread throughout the means of social communication, particularly that of television. But as I have promised you, I have intervened and am intervening every day to lead your country and your church along the road of unity, of salvation, and of peace. I am the Mother and Queen of Brazil. Today, I declare to you my motherly satisfaction for your having accepted the request which I have made to you, that family cenacles be spread everywhere as a great network of salvation. You have responded to my request, and I have kept my promise. Now that you are entering into the last decade of this century, during which the decisive events that will bring you to the triumph of my Immaculate Heart will be completed, I am asking that cenacles among priests, cenacles among the faithful, and especially family cenacles be multiplied even more. I am asking in particular that there be formed everywhere children's cenacles as a crusade of innocent prayer in order to form a great barrier against the spread of evil and sin and allow God and your Heavenly Mother to bring about the victory of goodness and of love. Go back to your homes in peace and become the apostles of this movement of mine throughout all Brazil. I am accompanying you with my motherly love, assuring you that I am always at the side of each one of you, and I bless you. Message number 420, When the Son of Man Returns. São Paulo, Brazil, March 13, 1990. You read in the Gospel, "When the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith on earth?" Today, I want to invite you to meditate on these words uttered by my Son Jesus. They are grave words which cause one to reflect and which succeed in making you understand the times through which you are living. First of all, you can ask why Jesus has uttered them, to prepare you for his second coming, and to describe for you a circumstance which will be indicative of the proximity of his glorious return. This circumstance is the loss of faith. Also, in another part of Holy Scripture, in the letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, it is clearly announced that before the glorious return of Christ, a great apostasy must take place. The loss of the faith is a true apostasy. The spread of the apostasy is therefore the sign which indicates that the second coming of Christ is of now close at hand. At Fatima, I have foretold to you that a time would come when the true faith would be lost. These are the times. Your days are marked by this painful and significant situation, which was foretold to you in Holy Scripture. The true faith is in the process of disappearing in an ever-increasingly greater number of my children. The causes of the loss of faith are, first, the spread of errors which are being propagated and are often taught by professors of theology in seminaries and in Catholic schools, and which thus acquire a certain character of credibility and legitimacy. Second, the open and public rebellion against the authentic magisterium of the Church, especially against that of the Pope, who has from Christ the duty of preserving the whole Church in the truth of the Catholic faith. And third, the bad example given by those pastors who have allowed themselves to be completely possessed by the spirit of the world and who become propagators of political and sociological ideologies rather than messengers of Christ and of his gospel, thus forgetting the mandate received from him: go into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. Thus, in these days of yours, apostasy on the part of many of my poor children is inundating you more and more. When the Son of Man returns. If indeed his return is close at hand, then my motherly action becomes more concerned and vigorous in order to assist all my children to remain ever in the truth of the faith. This is why I have asked you to consecrate yourselves to my Immaculate Heart. This is why, in these times of yours, I have spread everywhere my Marian movement of priests to form the little flock, reunited in the prayer of the cynicals and watchful in expectation, the flock gathered together and formed by me to ever preserve the true faith. Thus, when the Son of Man returns, he will still find the faith on earth in all those who will have consecrated themselves to me, allowing themselves to be gathered together in the heavenly garden of my Immaculate Heart. Message number 421. He loved them to the end. Rubio, Vicenza, Italy, April 12, 1990. Holy Thursday. Beloved sons, live with me this day of Holy Thursday, gathered together in the cynicle of my Immaculate Heart. This is the day of your Pasch. This is the day of your priesthood. You are recalling it today, gathered about your bishops in the concelebration of the Eucharist, during which you renew the promises which you made on the day of your priestly ordination. They are the promises of your fidelity to Christ and to his Church. They are the promises of your availability and of your obedience. They are the promises of your total and exclusive love, which pledges you to love Jesus and the souls which are entrusted to you by him. These are all promises for life. They are all pledges of love. Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. Thus John, the beloved apostle, introduces in his gospel the account of the institution of the Eucharist, of the new sacrifice and of the new priesthood. Jesus loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. That is to say, to the end of his life, because the Last Supper corresponds also with the last night of his human life lived among you. I have eagerly desired to eat this, my Pasch, with you before I suffer. He loved them to the end, that is to say, to the summit of every possibility of love, because Jesus renders perpetual today the sacrifice accomplished one single time on Calvary for the salvation of all. No one has greater love than he who lays down his life for those whom he loves. He loved them to the end, that is to say, to the ultimate demand imposed by love, which desires the presence of the person who is loved, because in the Eucharist, Jesus remains always with you, truly present with his glorified body and his divinity, as he is in paradise, even though he is hidden under the veil of the Eucharistic species. I am with you always to the end of the ages. He loved them to the end, that is to say, to the limit of your misery and your poverty, because in the sacrament of the Eucharist, Jesus makes himself one with you and becomes flesh of your very own flesh, blood of your very own blood, to communicate to you, earthly creature, that you are the precious gift of his divine life. I am the living bread come down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will have life, and I will raise him up on the last day. He loved them to the end, that is to say, until the end of time, because the presence among you of Christ in the state of a victim in every tabernacle of the earth gives you security and confidence, joy, and hope in his glorious return. We declare your death, O Lord. We proclaim your resurrection in the expectation of your coming. Today is the day of the new sacrifice and of the new priesthood. Today is the great day of love. His divine heart opens itself to give you his new commandment. I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. On this day, beloved sons, I am asking you to renew your pledge of love for Jesus present in the Eucharist. Make Holy Mass the center of all your piety, the summit of your priestly day, the heart of your apostolic action. Celebrate it with love, with the scrupulous observance of the liturgical laws. Live it, participating personally in the sacrifice which Jesus renews by means of you. Surround with lights and flowers the tabernacle where the Eucharistic Jesus is kept. Go often before the tabernacle for your personal encounter of love with Jesus who is awaiting you. Let him become for you the one and only treasure, the precious treasure which, like a magnet, draws your priestly heart. Expose once again the Eucharistic Jesus on the altar for hours of solemn and public adoration and reparation, because the rise of the new era will lead to a general reflowering of the Eucharistic cult in all the church. In fact, the coming of the glorious reign of Christ will coincide with the greatest splendor of his Eucharistic reign among you. The Eucharistic Jesus will release all his power of love, which will transform souls, the church, and all humanity. Thus, the Eucharist becomes a sign of Jesus, who still today loves you to the end, because he is leading you to the end of these times of yours to introduce you into the new era of holiness and of grace toward which you are all journeying and which all begin at the moment when Jesus will have restored his glorious reign in your midst. Message number 422, The Son and the Mother. Rubio, Vicenza, Italy, April 13, 1990, Good Friday. This day, close to me, your sorrowful mother, live the painful hours of the passion and the death of my son Jesus. Enter into the depths of his divine heart to share in the intensity of all his suffering. During the trial of the religious tribunal, when Jesus is insulted, abused, and in the end condemned for having borne witness to the truth and for having proclaimed himself the Son of God. During the trial undergone before the civil tribunal, where after having been acknowledged as innocent of all the accusations that were brought against him, he is made to undergo the terrible punishment of the scourging and the crowning with thorns, and in the end he is condemned to the death of the cross. Like a gentle lamb who is led to the slaughter, without a word of bitterness, without any complaint, crushed under the weight of the cross which the Heavenly Father gives him as he climbs Calvary, thus today I meet my Son. His face has no longer the semblance of a man. So disfigured is it by the blood and from the blows, because of the flagellation his body is reduced to one entire living wound, from which flow rivulets of blood. His strength no longer sustains him, and he totters. Fever consumes him. Life slips from him. He falls under the weight of his gibbet. And there he lies, stretched out on the ground, crushed like a worm, and no longer able to raise himself. It is at this moment that the Heavenly Father gives him the comfort of his mother. From this moment we live together the mystery of his redemptive passion. The Son and the Mother. Together we make our way along the final distance of this terrible journey. He, with the immeasurable weight of his suffering, which crushes him, I, with the painful sword, which penetrates into my immaculate heart and wounds it and makes it bleed. The Son and the Mother, together toward Calvary, carrying the cross of one and the same affliction. The drops of blood which descend from his head are mingled with the copious tears which flow from my motherly eyes. The crown of thorns which surrounds his head forms a sharp sword which pierces my heart. His wounded body is a mirror of my transfixed and lacerated soul. The Son and the Mother. Together we arrive at the summit of Golgotha. Together we are hung on the gibbet. Together we are pierced with the nails. Together we live out the painful hours of the agony. Together we hear the wicked shrieks of those who insult and blaspheme. Together we pardon the executioners. Together we pray and love. Together we feel the abandonment of the Father. Together we trust and commit ourselves to him. Together in the end, we die. Jesus dies in his body, I, his mother, in my heart. Miraculously, I remain still alive because as mother, I must help my son to die. Now you understand the profound significance of his last gift. Behold your mother. I am mother for him and for you, the son and the mother, the children and the mother. Here beneath the cross, I am miraculously still alive because as mother, I must help all. Because as mother, I must help you all to be born and to live in him and for him. All persons redeemed by Jesus are, as of today, my children as well. I am the mother of the people of all times, even to the end of times, when Jesus will return in glory, and then my spiritual motherhood will be finally completed. Message number 423. Keep watch with me in expectation. Rubio, Vicenza, Italy, April 14, 1990, Holy Saturday. Beloved children, today keep watch with me in expectation. This is the Holy Saturday. This is the day of my firm hope. This is the day of my unshakable faith and of my immaculate sorrow. Jesus now lies dead in his new sepulcher. From the moment when, with John and the holy women, I withdrew after it had been closed, a large stone having been rolled before it, time, as it were, came to a halt for me, the sorrowful and merciful mother. I recollected myself in an incessant prayer, while the tears fell from my eyes in a continuous lament, and my motherly heart formed, as it were, a cradle of love and of expectation for the new and glorious birth of my Son Jesus. Faith in his divine word, which had always sustained me during his human life, and which in the hours of his painful passion had become the sole and steady support of my unspeakable pain, now changes to the absolute certitude of his imminent resurrection. And I live, wounded and soothed, mourning and consoled, sorrowing and joyous, because I know that Jesus, torn and killed in such a cruel way, is now about to rise. And at the dawn of the first day after the Sabbath, Jesus Christ, in the splendor of his glorified body, with such great love and filial tenderness, draws close to me, enfolds me in his arms, enwraps me in his most powerful light, and speaks to me divine words of comfort. Beloved children, keep watch with me in expectation in the long and painful Holy Saturday, which leads to his resurrection and his glorious return. Keep watch with me in expectation, and be strong in your faith in him during these times when acts of betrayal and abandonment on the part of his own are being renewed, when the faith of true disciples is being put to severe tests by the spread of the most subtle and insidious errors. Keep watch with me in expectation, and be firm in the hope that Jesus will return on the clouds of heaven in the splendor of his glorified body, as he predicted before the tribunal of Caiaphas, wanting to give a sure sign of his divinity for these times when doubts are being spread about concerning his divine nature and the fulfillment of his promises. Keep watch with me in expectation, and be ardent in love, in these times when it has become cool in the hearts of men, and humanity has become a desert for want of life and of love, and is more and more consumed and threatened with egoism, with violence, with hunger, and with war. Keep watch with me in expectation in these last times of your so lengthy Holy Saturday, because the moment is close at hand when my Son Jesus will return on the clouds of heaven in the splendor of his divine glory. Message number 424, The Second Pasch in Glory. Rubio, Vicenza, Italy, April 15th, 1990, Easter Sunday. May your hearts be filled with joy and with peace, beloved children, on this Easter day. My Son Jesus, despised, insulted, scourged, and condemned and put to death on the cross, today rises from the dead through the power of his divinity and in the splendor of his glorified body. By the divine power of this, his new and glorious birth, the shadow of the sepulcher is changed into most powerful light. The heavy sealed stone is removed by a sudden earthquake. The guards who were sent to keep watch are struck down unconscious by a limitless power. The angels bow down in adoration at his luminous passage. Surrounding nature sings for joy, quivering through and through with a renewed life. Christ risen comes forth from the grave in the divine splendor of his glorified body. This is his Pasch of resurrection. This is the beginning of the new humanity, redeemed and taken in conquest by him. This is the dawn of his new reign. This is the first day of his royal triumph. Let your hearts be filled with joy, beloved children, because the second Pasch in glory is being prepared for you. A dark and cold sepulcher molds this poor humanity, which is walking in the darkness of the rejection of God, is worn out by the impetuous wind of the passions, and is slain by sin, by egoism, by hatred, and by impurity. It appears that now death alone triumphs in the world. But have confidence and hope. Christ risen is alive among you. The living Christ is your great victory. Close at hand is the second Pasch in glory. A little while yet, and the door of this immense sepulcher, in which lies all humanity, will be opened. Jesus Christ, surrounded by the choir of angels on the clouds of heaven, prostrate at his feet to form a royal throne in the splendor of his divinity, will return to bring humanity to a new life, souls to grace and love, the church to its highest summit of sanctity, and he will thus restore in the world his reign of glory. Message number 425, I Am Coming Down from Heaven. Fatima, Portugal, May 13, 1990. Anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima. I came down from heaven 73 years ago in this COVID-y area to point out for you the path you should tread in the course of this difficult century of yours. The very painful events which followed have, through their occurrence, given complete fulfillment to the words of my prophecy. Humanity has not accepted my motherly request to return to the Lord along the road of conversion of heart and of life, of prayer and of penance. Thus it has known the terrible years of the Second World War, which brought about tens of millions of deaths and vast destruction of populaces and of nations. Russia has not been consecrated to me by the Pope, together with all the bishops, and thus she has not received the grace of conversion, and has spread her errors throughout all parts of the world, provoking wars, violence, bloody revolutions, and persecutions of the Church and of the Holy Father. Satan has been the uncontested dominator of the events of this century of yours, bringing all humanity to the rejection of God and of his law of love, spreading far and wide division and hatred, immorality and wickedness, and legitimating everywhere divorce, abortion, obscenity, homosexuality, and recourse to any and all means of obstructing life. Now you are beginning the last decade of this century of yours. I am coming down from heaven, so that the final secrets may be revealed to you, and that I may be able thus to prepare you for what, as of now, you must live through, for the purification of the earth. My third secret, which I revealed here to three little children to whom I appeared, and which up to the present has not yet been revealed to you, will be made manifest to all by the very occurrence of the events. The church will know the hour of its great apostasy. The man of iniquity will penetrate into its interior and will sit in the very temple of God, while the little remnant which will remain faithful will be subjected to the greatest trials and persecutions. Humanity will live through the moment of its great chastisement, and thus will be made ready to receive the Lord Jesus, who will return to you in glory. For this reason, especially today, I am coming down again from heaven, through my numerous apparitions, through the messages which I give, and through this extraordinary work of my Marian movement of priests, to prepare you to live through the events which are even now in the process of being fulfilled, in order to lead you by the hand to walk along the most difficult and painful segment of this, your second advent, and to prepare the minds and the hearts of all to receive Jesus at the closely approaching moment of his glorious return. Message number 426. The Time of the Holy Spirit. Vacallo, Switzerland, June 3, 1990, Solemnity of Pentecost. In the cynical of my immaculate heart, beloved children, invoke today, together with your Heavenly Mother, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Repeat this invocation frequently. Let it become your habitual prayer during these years which still separate you from the great jubilee of the year 2000, as you live through the concluding times of this second advent. You are drawing close to the moment when the great prodigy of the second Pentecost will come to pass. Only the Spirit of love can renew the whole world. Only the Spirit of love can form the new heavens and the new earth. Only the Spirit of love can prepare hearts, souls, the church, and all humanity to receive Jesus, who will return to you in glory. For this, you are entering into times when the divine action of the Holy Spirit will become stronger and stronger. In these times, the Holy Spirit has the task of bringing you to the realization of the plan of the Heavenly Father in the perfect and universal glorification of His Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, the Holy Spirit is fulfilling His divine mission of giving full witness to the Son and will lead you to the understanding of the truth, whole and entire. The Holy Spirit has the task of making you today courageous witnesses of the truth and of bringing you to the heroic witness of faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit has the task of enlightening your souls with the light of divine grace and of leading you along the way of holiness. For this, He is pouring out upon you His seven holy gifts, thus giving strength and an increase in the theological and moral virtues which transform your life into that blossoming garden where the Most Holy Trinity makes its dwelling place. The Holy Spirit has the task of forming your hearts to the perfection of love and thus burns away within you every form of egoism and purifies you in the crucible of innumerable sufferings. The Holy Spirit has the task of bringing the church to its greatest splendor, that it may thus become all beautiful, without stain or wrinkle, in imitation of your Heavenly Mother, and be able to spread the light of Christ to all the nations of the earth. The Holy Spirit has the task of transforming all humanity and of renewing the face of the earth, that it may become a new terrestrial paradise in which God may be possessed, loved, and glorified by all. The Holy Spirit opens and closes the doors of the Second Advent. This is why the entire period of the Second Advent, in which you are living, is the time of the Holy Spirit. You are living in His time. I urge you to multiply everywhere cynicals of prayer with me. The whole church must enter into the spiritual cynicle of my Immaculate Heart and recollect itself in incessant prayer with your Heavenly Mother, because my Immaculate Heart is the golden door through which the Holy Spirit passes to come to you and to bring you to the second Pentecost. Message number 427. My Immaculate Heart is Glorified. Vicenza, Italy, June 23, 1990. Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Beloved children, today the Church is celebrating the liturgical memorial of my Immaculate Heart. This feast is being lived with particular solemnity by all who belong to my Marian movement of priests. You are entering into my times. The mysterious and powerful events of which I have foretold you are in the process of unfolding. For this, the time has come when my Immaculate Heart must be glorified before the Church and all humanity. You are being chosen to be the smallest of children consecrated to me and completely entrusted to me. You are being formed in order to prepare for and to bring about my motherly triumph in the glorious triumph of my Son Jesus. You are being called to be apostles of these last times. To you, therefore, falls the duty of proclaiming in every part of the earth the love and the glory of your Heavenly Mother. For this, my Immaculate Heart is being glorified in you. My Immaculate Heart is glorified by you when you allow yourselves to be led with docility along the road of purity, of love, and of holiness. My Immaculate Heart is glorified by you when you give to all a daily witness of heroic fidelity to Christ and to His gospel, becoming today courageous witnesses of faith. My Immaculate Heart is glorified by you when you give an example of strong unity with the Pope and of perfect obedience to His magisterium. My Immaculate Heart is glorified by you when you put yourselves at the total disposal of the spiritual needs of souls, especially by the assiduous exercise of your priestly ministry in the sacrament of reconciliation. My Immaculate Heart is glorified by you when you become burning flames of love and of zeal for Jesus present in the Eucharist, when you bring to him all the souls who are entrusted to you, when you multiply the hours of solemn adoration and reparation, exposing the Most Holy Sacrament on the altar, surrounded by lights and flowers as signs indicative of your piety. My Immaculate Heart is glorified by you when you multiply everywhere cenacles of prayer made with me, which I have asked of you among priests, faithful, youth, children, and in families. In this way, you are preparing the time of the second Pentecost for the church and for all the world. With the second Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will render his perfect witness to the Son and will bring upon the earth his glorious reign of love, that Jesus Christ may be loved, adored, and glorified by a completely renewed humanity. Only then will my Immaculate Heart have its triumph. Message number 428, the Second Pentecost. San Marino, June 28, 1990. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the directors of the Marian Movement of Priests from America and Europe. Beloved sons, again this year I have called you up here on this mountain to live days of brotherly sharing and of prayer with me in a continual cenacle as was that of Jerusalem. You are entering into the last decade of this century of yours, when the events which I have foretold to you will come to completion, and when my secrets will be revealed to you. You are entering into the time of the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. You are now close to the second Pentecost. The second Pentecost will come because even now there are spread about in every part of the world the cenacles of prayer which I have asked of you many times and with greater and greater insistence. You are here so that you yourselves may undergo the sweet and powerful experience of the cenacle, where I make myself particularly present among you in order that you can become apostles of cenacles in every part of the world. My Immaculate Heart is the new and spiritual cenacle into which all the church must enter in order to obtain the gift of the new Pentecost. The second Pentecost will come like a river of grace and of mercy which will purify the church and make her pure and chaste, humble and strong, without spot or wrinkle, all beautiful, in imitation of your heavenly mother. You are here to be molded by me in order to become the new heart of this church, completely renewed by the Spirit. For this reason, you must allow yourselves to be formed by me in order to arrive at a complete change of heart. Let your heart become meek and humble, gentle and merciful, sensitive and pure. Let your heart be a chalice filled with smooth balm which runs over and flows down to close open and bleeding wounds, to comfort innumerable sufferings and sorrows, to give hope to the desperate, grace to sinners, comfort to the ailing, help to the needy, peace to the distressed, courage to the disheartened. The second Pentecost will come like a dew upon the world and will transform the desert into a garden in which all humanity will run like a spouse to meet her Lord in a renewed covenant of love with him. Thus the Most Holy Trinity will receive its great glory, and Jesus will restore his glorious reign of love among you. For this reason, you must become the silent and courageous artisans of this general renewal. Take into your priestly arms this poor ailing humanity and bring it to the maternal clinic of my Immaculate Heart, that it may be healed by your heavenly mother. You do this when you bring everyone, priests, faithful, children, youth, and families to the consecration to my Immaculate Heart. Take courage, my beloved ones. During these extraordinary days of cenacle, I have given you comfort and consolation, grace and love, purity and holiness. You are leaving the cynical, completely renewed because the Holy Spirit, invoked by means of me, has communicated himself to you with his seven holy gifts, which give vigor and strength to the development within you of all the virtues. Leave now as courageous apostles of these last times, and go into every part of the world to carry the light of Christ in these times of darkness, and the dew of his divine love in these days of great aridity. In this way you are preparing hearts and souls to receive with joy the Christ who is coming. Together with your dear ones and with the souls who are entrusted to you, I bless you with the joy of a mother who has been so consoled by you. Message number 429, The Way of Light. Vicenza, Italy, August 15, 1990, Solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into Heaven. Look today at the splendor of your Heavenly Mother, beloved children, to be consoled in the painful moments through which you are living and to walk along my way in the final portion of your second advent. It is the way of light. It is the way which I have traced out for you during these years to lead you all to the Church of Light. Jesus is now forming this church of his by means of the powerful action of the Holy Spirit and in the garden of the Immaculate Heart of your Heavenly Mother. It is the new Church of Light, which has a splendor greater than 1,000 suns put together. It is being formed in the hearts of the simple, of the little, of the pure, of the poor, of those who know how to receive and follow Jesus with perfect docility, without any compromise with the spirit of the world. Jesus is building this, his new church, in a way which is invisible and utterly mysterious, in silence, in hiddenness, in prayer, in simplicity. For this reason, today I urge all my beloved ones and children consecrated to my Immaculate Heart to journey along the way of light in order to reach the goal of the second advent which you are now living. On this way of light, you are being encircled by the powerful splendor of your Heavenly Father, who reflects his love in you, takes you into his arms, and leads you more and more to understand the mystery of his divine paternity. Thus, you yourselves become the reflection of the glory of the Father. On this way of light, you are becoming intimately penetrated by the very light of Christ, who leads you to set yourselves strongly against the darkness of sin, of error, and of evil. Thus you walk in the splendor of his divine word, which causes to come down upon your life the radiant beams of joy, of purity, of love, of beauty, and of holiness. Thus you yourselves become the reflection of the splendor of the sun. On this way of light, you are intimately transformed by the most powerful fire of the Holy Spirit, who is a cauterizing flame, consumes you, and purifies you of everything which within you is of uncleanliness or imperfection. Thus he makes you fit to penetrate into the intimate relationship of love which exists between the Father and the Son, in such a way that in you the Father may be perfectly glorified and the Son may come to be more and more loved and imitated by you. Thus you yourselves become the reflection of the love of the Holy Spirit. Today, as you gaze at the splendor of my glorified body assumed into heaven, I urge you to walk, each and all, along the way of light which I have traced out for you, to offer your life to the perfect glory of the Most Holy Trinity, to live well the last times of this second advent in such a way as to be ready and with lamps burning to receive the Lord who is coming. Message number 430, Queen of Love. Budapest, Hungary, August 22, 1990, Feast of the Queenship of Mary. Spiritual exercises in the form of a cenacle with the priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from Hungary. I am your mother and queen. Today, you are observing the liturgical memorial of my maternal queenship. And you are here, beloved sons of Hungary, to make your retreat in the form of a continuous cenacle, as was that of Jerusalem. I am uniting myself to your unceasing prayer to obtain the gift of the Holy Spirit in order to confirm you in your vocation. I am building up a greater brotherliness among you, and as a mother, I am bringing you to know each other, to understand each other, to help each other, and to love each other, so that the new commandment which my Son Jesus has given you may be lived by you more and more. I am pointing out to you the way along which you must walk to live each day the consecration to my Immaculate Heart, which you have made to me, so that you can become the rays of light which come down into the midst of such great darkness to announce the proximate triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. I am the Queen of Love. You have emerged from a difficult and painful period of time during which my adversary has exercised, in a strong way, his dominion over you. Thus you have known moments of great affliction. The rejection of God and of his law of love has been spread among you. You have savored the bitterness of egoism, of hatred, of division, of fear, and of a great aridity. But I have come to your aid as your mother and queen, because this country has been consecrated to me by your patron, King Saint Stephen. And in these years, I want to exercise in an increasingly stronger way my maternal queenship. I am the Queen of Love. For this reason, I am calling today you priests, and by means of you, all the faithful to consecrate themselves to my Immaculate Heart. In this way, I can truly take possession of your lives and make you instruments of the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. You are the rays of light which come down from my Immaculate Heart upon this land of Hungary, which has been so tested. Spread everywhere the light from my heart, because dense yet is the darkness which surrounds you, and great are the dangers through which you are passing. Open up the hearts of all to receive the gift of my maternal queenship. I am the Queen of Love, and the hearts of my sons are the privileged portion of my reign. If you walk along the road which I have traced out for you, you succeed in overcoming all the obstacles which my adversary is still setting for you. You prepare new days of peace, and you help many of my wandering children to be converted and to return to the Lord, who is waiting for them with great fatherly love. I bless you, together with all the souls who are entrusted to you. I assure you of my maternal protection, and I ask you to bring everywhere in this country of the East my word of hope, of consolation, and of peace. Message number 431. The task which I have entrusted to you. Milan, Italy, September 8th, 1990, the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Beloved children, you are sharing today in the joy of the whole celestial and terrestrial church, which is contemplating your Heavenly Mother at the moment of her birth. I am the dawn which is arising to announce the birth of the eternal Son of my Son Jesus, our Redeemer and Savior. For this, the Lord has made me immaculate from the moment of my human conception. He has wanted me all beautiful, full of grace, and clothed in holiness. Thus today, on the feast of my birth, you are contemplating me as the rising dawn, beautiful as the moon, brilliant as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array. I am the dawn which announces the stupendous event of your salvation and which prepares you all for the coming of the great day of the Lord. I am beautiful as the moon, which shines with the reflected lights of the sun, because mine is the very beauty of the Most Holy Trinity, which enfolds me, mine the fullness of the grace of God, which transforms me, mine his divine holiness, which covers me. I am brilliant as the sun, because I am called to become the mother of Jesus Christ, who is the eternal splendor of the Father. I am terrible as an army drawn up in battle array, because the task which has been entrusted to me by the Lord is that of conquering Satan, of crushing the head of the ancient serpent, of enchaining the huge red dragon, and of casting him into his abyss of fire, of struggling with and of defeating the one who opposes himself to Christ, namely the Antichrist, in order to prepare the second coming of Jesus, who will restore his glorious reign among you. This is my plan. The stronger my presence becomes among you, the more will the darkness of evil, of sin, of hatred, and of impurity withdraw themselves from you. Because Satan is becoming more and more imprisoned and destroyed. In these last times of yours, the task of your heavenly mother, beautiful as the moon, brilliant as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array, is to announce that the great day of the Lord is in the very act of coming upon you. On this day of my nativity, little son so loved by me, you are on the vigil of a long and tiring journey, which I am again asking you to undertake for me, to many countries of another continent. This is the task which I have entrusted to you, to bring my motherly announcement to every part of the world, and to call all my children to enter, through their act of consecration, into the bright and safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. Because the trial which is about to come upon you is very great, and you are all being called to suffer with me. But yours is like the suffering of a mother who must bring her child to the light. In fact, the immense pain of these last times prepares the birth of a new era, the new times, when Jesus will come in the splendor of his glory and will restore his reign in the world. Then all creation, set free from the slavery of sin and death, will know the splendor of a second terrestrial paradise in which God will dwell with you, will wipe away every tear, and there will no longer be day or night, because the former things have passed away, and your light will be that of the Lamb and of the New Jerusalem come down from heaven upon the earth, ready as a bride for her spouse. Message number 432, The Travail of the New Birth. St. David, Maine, USA, September 15th, 1990. Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Beloved children, today I am associating you in the great suffering of your Immaculate Mother. You are the children of my motherly predilection. You have been chosen by me to form part of my victorious cohort. You are an important part of my plan as mediatrix and co-redemptrix. My son Jesus wanted me beneath the cross to associate my immaculate suffering with all his divine suffering. He wanted to unite my human suffering to his, and he associated me intimately in the mystery of his redemption. Thus he called me to be co-redemptrix. The fruit of my co-redemption is my spiritual motherhood. Beneath the cross, through the will of my son Jesus, in the cradle of a very great suffering, I became your mother, mother of all the redeemed, mother of the church and of the entire human race. And I have carried out this maternal function by standing as a true mother at the side of all my children during this earthly course of human history. I have not left anyone alone or abandoned. No one has ever been rejected or sent away from me. I have always been close to everyone as a loving and sorrowful mother. I have carried in my heart the sufferings of all. I have carried in my heart the sufferings of the whole church. I have shared in the immense pain of the poor and the outcast, of the sinners and the despairing, of those far away and of the atheists, of the good and of the wicked, of the great and of the small, of the priests and of the faithful, of the suffering and of the sick, of the agonizing and of the dying. I have become the mother of all sorrows. Above all, it is my motherly task to share in the great sufferings of the church and of all humanity in these days of the purification and of the great tribulation. It is these sufferings which are preparing the new times, the rise of the new era. This is therefore the travail of the new birth. And as mother, I am called to the task of begetting today, in suffering, the new humanity, ready for the meeting with its Lord, who is returning to you in glory. For this reason, my little son, I have wanted you here again, in the United States of America, to begin a long and weary journey through many countries, to hold the cynicals of my movement, and to lead all into the safe refuge of my Immaculate Heart. I want you thus to be associated in my motherly work of co-redemption, and I am making you more and more a participant in my great sorrows. Become, therefore, the sign of my motherly presence, and give to everyone the charism of my soothing balm. Give assistance to those who are far away, comfort to the sick, courage to the weak, support to the little ones, grace to the sinners, love to the priests, light to the faithful, hope to the discouraged, and great confidence to all. You will see the greatest marvels everywhere, because the times of my maternal co-redemption have arrived. Message number 433, The Hour of the Angelic Powers, Alberta, Canada, September 29, 1990, Feast of the Holy Archangels. You are celebrating today the Feast of the Archangels Gabriel, Raphael, and Michael, and you are invoking their protection. In these times of the Great Tribulation, I urge you to live in a union of life with the angels of the Lord. Today they have an important task to carry out on your behalf. They light up for you the path along which you must journey in order to be faithful to the consecration which you have made to me. It is a difficult and painful path, marked by many obstacles and threatened by the many snares of my adversary. The angels take you by the hand and lead you along the path of light, of love, and of holiness. They give you courage and comfort in the many difficulties which you must put up with, and they support you in your human weakness. They are at your side as true brothers, who take to heart your person and your life. They defend you against the continuous attacks of Satan, against his numerous snares, against the obstacles which he puts along your path. The great battle which is now being waged is above all at the level of the spirits, the wicked spirits against the angelic spirits. You are being involved in this struggle, which is being waged between heaven and earth, between the angels and the demons, between Saint Michael the Archangel and Lucifer. To the angels of the Lord is entrusted the task of defending your person, the life of the church, and the good of all humanity. In this great country where you find yourself holding cynicals, you see how humanity, deceived by the false spirits, is going along the way of evil and of a great immorality, and how the church itself is becoming more and more undermined by errors and by sins, and is running the danger of losing the true faith as a result of its division from the Pope and its opposition to his magisterium. In these evil times, you must pray much to the angels of the Lord. This is the hour of the angelic powers. It is the angelic powers who are guiding all my children in the decisive battle for the final defeat of Satan and the coming of the glorious reign of Christ in the triumph of my Immaculate Heart in the world. Message number 434, My Greatest Victory, Quebec, Canada, October 7th, 1990, Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, and anniversary of the victory of the Blessed Virgin Mary at Lepanto. On this day, when the anniversary of one of my victories obtained through the powerful weapon of the Holy Rosary is being celebrated, you find yourself journeying through the provinces of Canada, this land so loved by me and so threatened and wounded by my adversary, to gather together in cenacles of prayer and fraternal sharing the priests and faithful who are consecrated to me. Today, by means of you, I want to give a word of assurance and of hope to many of my children who live in this great country. My adversary has violated, in a very grievous way, this land, leading many of my poor children along the road of materialism, of a frantic search for pleasure and money, of egoism, of pride, and of impurity. Obscenity and immorality are flooding everywhere, especially through the press and television, and thus the souls of the little ones and the simple are being corrupted. Even the church here is being particularly threatened by the spread of errors, which bring one to the loss of the true faith. The pastors are responsible for this painful situation, because many of them are not defending the truth with courage and often remain silent and tolerate abuses of every kind, and thus the integrity of the Catholic faith is becoming more and more threatened. It is necessary that all the bishops and the priests return to a greater unity with the Pope, he whom Christ has set as the foundation of the Church and as the infallible guardian of his truth. But my great sorrow is appeased by an ever-increasing number of my children who are accepting my motherly urge to conversion, to the consecration to my Immaculate Heart, to the spreading everywhere of cenacles of prayer made with me through the recitation of the Holy Rosary. Spread these cenacles everywhere, like rays of light which come down to lighten up the earth in these days of great darkness. Above all, multiply family cenacles as a strong defense against all those evils which today are threatening to destroy the family, such as division, divorce, the recourse to the means of birth control, and the abortions which are increasing more and more and crying for vengeance in the sight of God. The spiritual cenacle of my Immaculate Heart is the refuge into which all of you must enter in order to receive the gift of the second Pentecost. Thus, with the powerful weapon of the Holy Rosary, you will be able to attain again today my greatest victory in the history of the Church and of all humanity. Message number 435, I Reveal My Secret. Mexico City, Mexico, October 13th, 1990, anniversary of the last apparition at Fatima. Today you are recalling my final apparition, which took place in Fatima on this very day in 1917, and which was confirmed by the miracle of the sun. Today I announce to you that there is about to be born the new Church of Light, which my Son Jesus is forming for himself in every part of the earth, so that it will be ready to receive him with faith and with joy in the proximate moment of his second coming. The glorious reign of Christ, which will be established in your midst with the second coming of Jesus in the world, is close at hand. This is his return in glory. This is his glorious return to establish his reign in your midst and to bring all humanity, redeemed by his most precious blood, back to the state of his new terrestrial paradise. That which is being prepared is so great that its equal has never existed since the creation of the world. Prepare yourselves with humility, with faith, and with intense prayer. Prepare yourselves by gathering together each and all in the spiritual cenacle of my Immaculate Heart. Prepare yourselves in silence and in expectation. I reveal my secret only to the hearts of the little, the simple, and the poor, because it is being accepted and believed by them. For this, Jesus is working powerfully in these times to prepare his coming in the lives of the simple, the poor, the pure, the little. With a small number of these children, the Lord will soon restore on earth his glorious reign of love, of holiness, and of peace. Message number 436. Paradise will be joined to earth. Dallas, Texas, USA, November 1, 1990, Solemnity of All Saints. Look today to paradise where many of your brothers and sisters have arrived to participate in the endless joy of a blessed eternity. This feast should be for you a reason for joy, for hope, and for comfort. Let yourselves be filled with joy at the certainty that the saints in paradise shed upon you the light of their blessedness to help you live on earth for the perfect glorification of the Most Holy Trinity. In this way, while yet still here below, you share in the same experience as do the saints, and you live with the heart and the soul in paradise, enjoying in a small degree the same happiness as they do. A cause of hope should be for you the fact that many have preceded you to the heavenly kingdom, after having journeyed along the same road as you, after having endured the same sufferings as you, after having experienced the very same difficulties as you. And so go forward with fortitude and without ever allowing yourselves to be discouraged along the road of the perfect observance of the law of God, of the practice of all the Christian virtues, of a daily communion of life with the Eucharistic Jesus, who leads you along the road of sanctity. A great comfort for you all should be the certainty that the saints are assisting you with their prayers, are at your side to console you in your afflictions, to give you strength in difficulties, to remove the obstacles which you find along your road, and to make you overcome the snares which my adversary and yours sets for you. In the hour of the great trial, paradise will be joined to earth until the moment when the luminous door will be opened to cause to descend upon the world the glorious presence of Christ, who will restore his reign in which the divine will shall be accomplished in a perfect manner, as in heaven, so also on earth. Message number 437, The Hour of the Great Trial. Malvern, Pennsylvania, USA, November 15, 1990, Spiritual Exercises in the Form of a Cenacle with 3 Bishops and 250 Priests of the Marian Movement of Priests from the United States, Canada, and Latin America. Beloved sons, today I want to tell you of the joy and the comfort that my Immaculate Heart feels in seeing you gathered together in such great numbers in these your spiritual exercises, which you are carrying out in the form of a continuous cenacle. You have come from almost all the states of this country of yours, from Canada and from other countries of Latin America. You are gathered in prayer, offered together with me by the recitation of the entire rosary, by your listening to my word, by a solemn holy hour of Eucharistic adoration, and by the concelebration of Holy Mass, always presided over by a bishop, during which you renew your act of consecration to my Immaculate Heart. You have also wished to make more intense your act of love and reparation to Jesus present in the Most Holy Eucharist by your nocturnal adoration, so pleasing to me and blessed by me, because it has given great comfort and joy to the Eucharistic and priestly heart of Jesus. And now I announce to you that the hour of the great trial is on the point of arriving. The great trial has arrived for your country. How many times, as a concerned and sorrowing mother, have I endeavored to urge my children to follow the path of conversion and of return to the Lord? I have not been listened to. You have continued to walk along the way of rejection of God and of His law of love. Sins of impurity have become ever more widespread, And immorality has spread like a sea which has submerged all things. Homosexuality, a sin of impurity which is against nature, has been justified. Recourse to the means of preventing life have become commonplace, while abortions, these killings of innocent children that cry for vengeance before the face of God, have spread and are performed in every part of your homeland. The moment of divine justice and of great mercy has now arrived. You will know the hour of weakness and of poverty, the hour of suffering and defeat, the purifying hour of the great chastisement. The great trial has arrived for your church. Those errors which have brought people to the loss of the true faith have continued to spread. Many pastors have been neither attentive nor vigilant, and have allowed many rapacious wolves, clothed as lambs, to insinuate themselves into the flock in order to bring disorder and destruction. How great is your responsibility, O pastors of the Holy Church of God! You continue along the path of division from the Pope and of the rejection of his magisterium. Indeed, in a hidden way, there is in preparation a true schism which could soon become open and proclaimed. And then there will remain only a small faithful remnant over which I will keep watch in the garden of my immaculate heart. The great trial has arrived for all humanity. The chastisement predicted by me at Fatima and contained in that part of the secret which has not yet been revealed is about to take place. The great moment of divine justice and of mercy has come upon the world. For this reason, I have wanted you here. You must be the apostles of these last times. Go out everywhere and proclaim with strength and courage the gospel of Jesus. Walk along the path of contempt for the world and for yourselves. Illuminate the earth in these times of great darkness. Cause the rays of the light of your faith, of your holiness, and of your love to come down upon the world. You have been chosen to combat courageously against the power of him who places himself in opposition to Christ, in order to obtain in the end my greatest victory. Leave this cynical in confidence, leave in joy and in great hope. I am with you. I am manifesting myself by means of you. I will work prodigies in you, so that all will be able to see my light and feel my maternal presence. Together with your dear ones, together with the souls which are entrusted to you, I bless you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Message number 438. Open your hearts to hope. São Paulo, Brazil, December 8, 1990. Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. Contemplate me today in the splendor of my Immaculate Conception. Allow yourselves to be enfolded in my light of grace, of holiness, and of virginal beauty. My dearly beloved ones and children consecrated to me, second my plan, and enter all of you as quickly as possible into the spiritual cynicle of my Immaculate Heart. My Immaculate Heart is the heavenly garden in which I want to gather you together to offer you to the perfect glory of the Most Holy Trinity in these times of the apostasy. My Immaculate Heart is the safe refuge which I have prepared for you, so that you may live in serenity through the painful moments of the great tribulation. My Immaculate Heart is the luminous path which leads you to the joyous meeting with Jesus, who is about to return to you in glory. And so cooperate with my pressing request, which I am presenting to you by means of my work of the Marian movement of priests, and of this little son of mine whom I am still leading to every part of the world, to bring everyone to the consecration to my Immaculate Heart. Thus you take part in my motherly plan, which is that of preparing hearts and souls to receive the Lord who is coming. I was chosen by the Most Holy Trinity to become the mother of the Word, who became incarnate in my virginal womb, and thus I have given you my Son Jesus. His first coming among you took place in poverty, in humility, and in suffering, because Jesus wanted to assume the limitations, the misery, and the weakness of our human nature. And so my motherly action was carried out in silence, in prayer, in hiddenness, and in humility. I was chosen by the Most Holy Trinity to become the mother of the Second Advent, and thus my motherly task is that of preparing the church and all humanity to receive Jesus, who is returning to you in glory. His second coming will take place in the light of his divinity, because Jesus will return to you on the clouds of heaven in the splendor of his royalty and will make subject to himself the peoples and the nations of the earth. And all his enemies will be crushed under the throne of his universal dominion. Thus my maternal action in these last times is being exercised in a manner which is open and always more powerful, and my light is becoming bright in every part of the earth. For this reason, I am manifesting myself today everywhere by means of my numerous apparitions and of my extraordinary manifestations. My reign of love, which I am establishing in hearts and souls, is the way which prepares the glorious reign of Christ. The triumph of my immaculate heart will coincide with the second coming of Jesus in glory to make all things new. And so listen, one and all, to my voice and hasten after the immaculate light of my virginal beauty, to the encounter with the divine splendor of Christ. Open your hearts to hope. The second coming of Christ is near at hand. The signs that he himself has given you to prepare yourselves to receive him in these times of yours are all on the point of being realized. Open your hearts to hope. Live in peace of heart and in prayer. Live in faith and in joy. Live in grace and in purity. Live in love and in holiness. Because Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, and our King, is about to come to you in the splendor of his glorified body. Message number 439. Receive the prophetic announcements. Como, Italy, December 24th, 1990, the Holy Night. Live with me, beloved children, through the precious hours which precede the birth of my divine child. This is the Holy Night. Spend it with me in silence, in contemplation, in prayer, and in peace. Share in the joy of my immaculate heart, which is opening itself to give the Redeemer and the Savior to the world. For how many centuries this event was awaited. The promise of his coming came down like a torch to lighten up the dark unfolding of time and of history. The prophets had foretold of this moment. The just were awaiting it with faith. The poor were hoping for it with ardent expectation. The Spirit was preparing hearts and souls for his coming. In the invocation of this ineffable moment, all the saints and the just ones of Israel fell asleep. On this holy night, the expectation of centuries comes to an end, because the eternal word of the Father, while silence enwraps all things, is born in his human life and becomes your brother. He is born in a cave amidst great poverty, rejected by all, received with love and tenderness by me, his virginal mother, and by my most chaste spouse, Joseph, and made joyous by the heavenly voices of the angels and by the presence of the little, the poor, the simple, and the pure of heart. Beloved children, you too live with me the joyous mystery of this Christmas. Surround the bare crib with your priestly love. Make amends in the face of the rejection of many with the fullness of holiness and of faithful witness. Kiss with me his tender limbs, and let us thank together the Heavenly Father for his only begotten Son, who today is given to us all. And prepare yourselves all for his second birth. Again, the coldness of sin covers the life of men and of peoples. The darkness of errors pervades the whole world. The rejection of God and of his law of love is set up as a norm of human life. Hatred, impurity, egoism, and division are spreading, and the threat of a new and terrible war is becoming on this very day more concrete and close at hand. You have entered into the times that have been foretold to you. You have entered into the last times. And so receive the prophetic announcements, which in so many ways have pointed out to you that this, his second birth, is close at hand. While the deep night has once again fallen upon the world and such coldness dries up the hearts of men, open your souls to confidence and to hope, and listen with joy to my prophetic announcement. As mother of the second advent, I am preparing you for his new birth. For this reason, in every part of the world, I am on the point of forming the cohort of the little ones, of the poor, of the humble, and the pure in heart, to prepare thus a precious cradle for Jesus, who is returning to you in glory. Message number 440, My Teardrops, Vicenza, Italy, December 31st, 1990, the last night of the year. Gather together with me in prayer of adoration and reparation to spend the last hours of this year, which is about to end, in an act of profound intercession. Pray in order to ask for the salvation of this world, which has now touched the depths of impiety and of impurity, of injustice and of egoism, of hatred and of violence, of sin and of evil. How many times and in how many ways have I personally intervened to urge you to conversion and to a return to the Lord of your peace and of your joy? This is the reason for my numerous apparitions, for the messages which I give by means of this little son of mine and of my work of the Marian movement of priests, which I myself have spread in every part of the world. As mother, I have repeatedly pointed out the path along which you must walk to attain your salvation. But I have not been listened to. They have continued to walk along the way of rejection of God and of his law of love. The Ten Commandments of the Lord are continually and publicly violated. The day of the Lord is no longer respected, and his most holy name is becoming more and more despised. The precept of love of one's neighbor is daily violated through egoism, hatred, violence and division, which have entered into families and into society, and by violent and bloody wars between the nations of the earth. The dignity of man as a free creature of God is crushed by the chains of an interior slavery, which makes him a victim of disordinate passions of sin and of impurity. For this world, the moment of its chastisement has now arrived. You have entered the grievous times of the purification, and sufferings must increase for all. Even my church has need of being purified of the evils which have stricken her and which are causing her to live through moments of agony and of her sorrowful passion. How apostasy has spread because of the errors which are at this time being disseminated and being accepted by the majority without any further reaction. The faith of many has died out. Sin committed, justified, and no longer confessed renders souls slaves of evil and of Satan. To what a miserable state has this, my most beloved daughter, been reduced? Pray with me during these last hours of the year, which is about to end. During its course, I have again intervened many times to obtain from the Lord the gift of his divine mercy. But the time which awaits you is that time when mercy will be espoused to divine justice for the purification of the earth. Do not wait the new year with noise, with cries, and with songs of joy. Await it with the intense prayer of one who wants to again make reparation for all the evil and the sin in the world. The hours through which you are about to live are among the gravest and the most painful. Pray, suffer, offer, make reparation together with me, who am the mother of intercession and of reparation. Thus you, my beloved ones and children consecrated to my heart, you become, in these last hours of the year, my teardrops, which are falling upon the immense pain of the church and of all humanity as you enter into the grievous times of the purification and the great tribulation.